We're back with more of Lake Effect on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. It's Memorial Day, a day set aside to honor our nation's war dead. We thought it was an appropriate time to begin a new series on Wisconsin soldiers from a long-ago war, the American Civil War, the bloodiest conflict fought on American soil. Although the war is typically characterized as a battle between the North and the South, the then-western frontier of Wisconsin played a pivotal role. To mark the sesquicentennial of the war between the states, which took place between 1861 and 1865, we've been running various interviews over the past year. Today we'll talk with local historian and author Thomas Martin Sobotky. He'll bring the battles alive over the next several weeks as he recounts the bravery and sacrifice of the Wisconsin regiments that were instrumental to the Union cause. He begins today by explaining that Wisconsin volunteer soldiers were part of the war effort from the start.
Wisconsin was involved in the war right from the very beginning. Many of the settlers who had settled Wisconsin in the antebellum period even were around, in many cases, for Wisconsin becoming a state in 1848, were New Englanders and thoroughly anti-slavery. They weren't all abolitionists by any means, but they were northern people, very, very loyal to the Union. And there was nothing slow about Wisconsin's response. During the Civil War, per capita, Wisconsin was one of the very top states in the numbers of men it supplied to the Union war effort. 91,000 plus Wisconsin men and perhaps a few women who were determined to break convention and go off and fight in the war. We don't know how many served. We also have to remember when we look at Wisconsin at the start of the Civil War in 1861 that this was the frontier. Can you believe that? And Wisconsin people would be, they'd be called to their faces, you're a Westerner. And there was this image of Wisconsin people as kind of rough and tumble frontier people, hard drinking and hard working, and to some extent the drinking was true. And so this is the West. Wisconsin is the Western frontier at the time of the Civil War. And everybody out East, North and South out East, looks at us and says, these are frontier people. And to some extent that's true because Wisconsin had just been settled in the previous decades and had become a state. It was assumed that they could shoot, and that assumption is correct. And it was assumed that they could take a lot of hardship. That assumption is also correct. That doesn't mean they wouldn't complain about it, but they could take it. And there was a little bit of a concern that they might be especially hard fighters. William Tecumseh Sherman, near the close of the Civil War, was asked about his estimation of various regiments in his huge army that had taken Atlanta and gone on to the sea at Savannah and helped to win the war. And he really made a very interesting comment. He said that he would always rather have any single regiment from the state of Wisconsin than any two from any other state. And that is incredibly high praise. And Billy Sherman was a talkative and very high energy kind of guy, a redheaded fellow, but he did not give that kind of praise unless he meant it. We really need to really think a lot more than we usually do about the meaning of the American Civil War. And I think Memorial Day is one of the least understood and most poorly observed American holidays. It's not a celebration. It is a commemoration, and there's an important distinction. The veterans after the Civil War originally called it Decoration Day. And Southerners, I think about May 25th or 6th, would lay flowers at the graves of Confederate veterans. And then General John A. Logan, from Illinois, who was, I think, the first commander of the Union Army's veterans organization, the Grand Army of the Republic. And we would have Lucius Fairchild command the group in the 1880s with much distinction and become a governor of Wisconsin and all the rest of it, which is really wonderful. And even Sargent, the great portrait painter of the late 19th century, would paint Fairchild. And I believe the Historical Society has that painting. But he suggested, Logan suggested, in 1868, by order to the organization — they're used to giving orders. This is 1868, and these guys are still acting like soldiers, I guess, which is quite natural — said that May the 30th would be a day that you would go and strew the graves of fallen veterans with flowers to remember them. And of course, originally in the decades after the Civil War, they interchangeably had Decoration Day, Memorial Day. You'd hear both terms. It would involve some sort of a solemn parade through the town. Every living veteran from your town would march with the citizens, with little kids with flags out front, you know, their paintings like that. But also there were a lot of widows, a lot of people who had lost their sons in the war. And they would, if they were had been sent back to Wisconsin or died of wounds after the war, they would be quietly going to a soldier's grave in the morning. That this was a common sight. And if you read some of the essays of Oliver Wendell Holmes, he refers to that, that, you know, in this beautiful time at the end of May, when the weather is warm and the flowers are blooming and spring, you know, is upon us and the leaves are leafing out on the trees, and that's such a celebration of life. Holmes wrote of seeing veiled figures in black, women going to graves with flowers quietly and weeping at graves. That's hardly a celebration. We need to remember, I think, that now that Memorial Day is widened to mark the sacrifices, the ultimate sacrifice of their very lives for us, of so many of the soldiers that fought in all of our wars, Memorial Day is a commemoration of all of that, and that sacrifice, that we really do need to stop and reflect. It is not just about cooking some brats and getting something cold to drink and being with family. As wonderful as that is and as appropriate as that always is, I wonder about our holidays in this country. Our ancestors used to commemorate different occasions and celebrate holidays where the work week could be interrupted any day of the week. You know, Memorial Day might fall on a very awkward middle of the work week day. But I think they understood that that was a good thing, however disruptive it was, because it forces you to stop and think about, you know, what is the meaning of this day? Why am I off work today on a Wednesday when I worked Monday and Tuesday? What's going on? And that's the purpose of having these holidays. And I think we've lost so much by having these Fridays and Monday holidays where you simply extend a weekend. Then, of course, you lose whatever that meaning of that day is.
Pewaukee writer, teacher, and independent Civil War historian Thomas Martin Sabatke is the author of the new book, Across That Dark River, The Civil War Memory. It's published by Moving Train Books, LLC, which he also founded. Sabatke will tell us more about Wisconsin's role in the Civil War over the next several weeks, and you can hear all of our Civil War segments at wuwm.com/lakeeffect.